Welcome to the California Businesses on the Rise show. I'm Gustavo Tapia, co-founder of Hype Digital and owner of Hype Digital San Francisco. We impact people's lives by empowering them to reach their goals by growing their authority and helping them network with other business owners. Stick around to the end of the show. We'll reveal how you can be our next guest on one of the fastest growing daily inspirational podcasts.
You guys for tuning in to California Business on the Rise podcast. This is your host, Romina. I hope the audience is having a tremendous and a fabulous day, and get ready for another amazing episode because today we actually have the founders of Good Radio Capital. We have Carlton Fowler and James Pellegrini. Hey guys, how are you doing today?
Good, Romina. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. Now, you guys, to find more information, go to rodeocapital.com is the website, like I mentioned, and the company is a venture capital fund focusing on early stage opportunities in the alcohol beverage space. That's a lot. Now, let's digest it a little bit, you guys. Tell me a little bit more about the business.
Sure. So, we're a standard consumer venture capital fund, which means we look for up-and-coming companies to invest and support as they grow, and then hopefully they exit and we get a return on our investment. James and I both come from a corporate beverage alcohol background. We worked for one of the larger corporations in the space, E&J Gallo. So we take a lot of the things that we learned there and add them to kind of our overall view of how the space is looking, and that's how we make investments.
Perfect. And I know the audience, a lot of our audience have that full-time job before, and they're trying to make a transition into their entrepreneurship spirit. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey? Like, what was the final push for you guys to be like, okay, let's do this. Like, we just have to launch. We cannot hold back anymore.
Sure. It was a pretty typical journey for us. James and I, we actually met at E&J Gallo's. That's a very large wine and spirits company. And we were various executives at the firm. I ran new brand development. So I was focusing on all the new brands that company was putting out. And we had a lot of success there, launched some really interesting brands that got some good traction in market. And as we went through that process, together we just started to get obsessed with the idea of, okay, how can we find even more, and more and smaller and more innovative companies to support? And that necessitated us leaving the larger mothership and going out and funding the venture capital fund, finding investors into our fund, and then finding companies to invest in.
Perfect. And then is there a specific beverage that you guys prefer a lot more? Because we're talking about, alcoholic beverages, which they come in taste, flavor. It's a lot going on right now. Do you guys have like a preferred one that you go for?
I personally, are you speaking or as far as like
business investment wise? Yeah.
Oh, I'd say that we're pretty much agnostic to a specific beverage or beverage type. Having a good product is certainly the first stage gate when we're looking at a branded product. But beyond that, it's looking for somebody who has a vision of the future that they believe wholeheartedly in helping to create that vision. And what we look for is, a smart team with a good track record. And then probably a lot of the folks that you have on your podcast, quite frankly, the kind of people who are grinders, who are going to figure out a way to kick down doors. And then it's our job to help open those doors for them so that they don't have to kick them down and we can help them grow a little faster.
So helping grow them, and I know you kind of mentioned sales, pretty much knocking doors and taking names. Sales is absolutely very important. But I wanted to ask you on the marketing perspective, how has the industry that you guys are in changed in the recent years? Because we're seeing more and more in the market or commercials, there is a lot more beverages options out there. How has it changed? And where is it going to go? Are we going to have like 100,000 more options and some of them are going to fade away one way or another? Where do you guys see this going?
Yeah, we love the entrepreneurial churn, right? There's always going to be new brands and new products coming to market. I think the biggest change that we've seen, especially through the COVID-19 pandemic, is how much things are moving to digital. People are finding and interacting with the brands they want to buy through Instagram, through Facebook, through digital channels. So a lot of what we look to invest in is those brands that show a real facility with you know, customer acquisition through digital channels. That's you know, I'd say that's one of the number one things we get really excited about when we're investing, is looking for companies that are an expert there, because the digital shelf is infinite, right? The Whole Foods shelf is limited, and you got to fight really hard to be on it. But if you're really good at acquiring consumers digitally, through podcasts or ads or what have you, then we tend to get quite interested in those kind of businesses.
What has been like some common mistakes that you have seen young entrepreneurs do without realizing it's hurting their branding when they're starting?
Going too fast, too quickly, is probably the primary one that I tell people to be cognizant of. When you start a new company or a new brand, it's really expensive to make mistakes on a large scale. So oftentimes you'll have the support of, maybe it's a distributor or a retailer that really wants to extend you broadly quickly if you have good product market fit. But then you run the risk of having, stockouts, of getting to a place where maybe a marketing campaign or a piece of, point of sale doesn't really work. And when you're doing that on a really large scale, it can be very expensive, and it can kind of suffocate an early brand. So my piece of advice is always start very small and targeted. Use that as an opportunity to learn and figure out what the playbook should be, and then grow from there.
So you would recommend like slow, steady, and consistent throughout the process, instead of trying to launch like a rocket and then, burning?
I think that's one way of characterizing it. I'd say more specifically, it's make your mistakes early and make them in a smaller market than maybe making them on a broad scale. So figuring out what exactly your strategy is going to be, having that really honed in before you try and get too broad.
For you guys, for Good Radio Capital, what has been like one of the obstacles that you guys had to overcome while running the business? Because I know you guys said that you have the experience, you come from that world, but once you launch yourself, it is a whole nother world, I would say, too. What has been some struggles and like biggest learning lessons for you as well?
Yeah, I mean, for us, because we're a fund, investors have to put money into our fund for us to build investment companies. We had to go out and raise millions of dollars to be able to, and that, it was millions of dollars on the understanding and the promise that we'd be able to identify good companies and help them grow. So that was really the biggest hurdle, was going from we have a track record of success in this business, to we can extend that track record and we should be invested in. So I think you can think of Goat Radio Capital as kind of our own startup. We're a startup VC fund, and we're going through all those, the learning curve of understanding how to manage and make a VC fund successful. And that gives us empathy for an understanding for the companies that we're invested in who are going through their own challenges. But they're definitely a different set of challenges. Ours is much more about how do we get the word out to both investors who give us the capital to work with, and then also to prospective companies that were there and available and have capital to invest. So think of us as more of like a two-sided marketplace, rather than just looking for a consumer like your average business does.
And I love how you say it's two-sided also, because it's a partnership within you and the other business that you guys are definitely helping to get this business up and running and getting more successful. But I want to ask you, because you are working with a brand new person at the time. It's not like your friend of yours or anything of the nature. How do you deal with people that their ego doesn't allow them sometimes to be coachable or to be open to new ideas or to new marketing ideas, new innovation ideas? Well, how do you handle that?
I think that's part of the process that we go through prior to making an investment. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of conversations, and as you can imagine, there's a number of companies or brands that come across our path or that come to us in need of capital. And one of the things that is very important to us is making sure that we find the right type of personality. They're not all the same. We're not investing in a specific personality, but it's the right type of personality for the business that they're trying to run. So it may be somebody who is very detail oriented for a specific type of business. It may be somebody who is very focused on like the financial aspect of the business or on the growth aspect of the business. But at the end of the day, we want to find the types of individuals who have, again, that vision for the future that they believe in, really, like, so it's really bought into this idea of, hey, this is what success is going to look like, and I'm going to get there, because we can't make them believe in a future. We can only support their belief. So then it's finding the right balance of, is this person looking for feedback? What type of feedback are they looking for? Is that the type of feedback that we can provide? So it's finding a good partnership. It's really like kind of dating as you're getting to know a company before you want to get engaged and make an investment.
Well, and the, you know, to build on that, like, there's no going back once you make the investment. You know, they have your capital and they're putting it to work. So our you know, probably the most important part of our business is the due diligence, and it's a long process. It's not just a, hey, we met you, we're going to make an investment next week. It can be a 3-month long process getting to understand the business that we're invested in and the entrepreneur behind it.
Are you guys looking towards like companies that have a lot of sales or are medium on the sales whenever they get started? Or maybe they just have that brilliant idea that you know for a fact this will be good for the market and the sales don't matter? Like, what is the area that you also look for when it comes to the sales that the company you're partnering up with is bringing to the table?
Kind of all of the above. I would say rarely do we invest pre-revenue. So if someone's got a great idea, it's got to be a really great idea for us to say, okay, you know, this is unvalidated by the market and we're going to invest, but we have done it and we've had some success there. And that kind of falls back on our ability to kind of help predict the future along with the entrepreneurs. For the most part, we want to see some traction, but yeah. we are seed and Series A investors. So we get involved early on. Maybe you have one or two large distributors or retailers working with you. That's enough for us to say, okay, the market has started to validate this idea and we think it can get much bigger.
How about if a business owner actually is looking to create a pitch for an investor? What tips would you give an entrepreneur that is looking to maybe partner up with somebody and needs to get that pitch, like elevator pitch, niche down to the best option ever? What tips would you give that person, that entrepreneur?
I think that you want to look at it from two angles. So the first angle is like a top down versus, the second angle being a bottom up. So the top down is going to be, here is the market that I am looking to serve. Here's how big it is. Here's what I'm going to be doing differently than anybody else in the market. And here's why I will be successful. And this is how successful I can be. Then there's the bottom up. And that's very tactical. That's saying like, hey, here's how much it costs me to make my product. Here's how much I can sell it for. Here's my experience with sales, et cetera. But it's really about creating a narrative. At the end of the day, people are going to want to support individuals who can tell a really interesting story. So it's setting up that story for you to say, like, there's a solution that most people didn't know they were looking for, and I'm providing it. So you're kind of answering a question that maybe hasn't been asked yet, and being able to sell that as a journey that people want to be along for the ride. That's the way that I tend to respond really positively to pitches.
There are some really good resources out there for these aspiring entrepreneurs to use, like anything on the Y Combinator website. Like, there's of course, obviously every situation is different, but there's just a good flow. I mean, Jim's a lot of it's like, define the problem, define how you've created the solution, define how much it's worth solving that solution. Because those are the three things, investors are going to have to agree with all those three things. Like, yes, I agree this is a problem. Yes, I agree that you have a solution. And yes, I agree that if you solve it, it's going to be, provide returns to both the company and the investors.
Absolutely. And then I wanted to ask you more. I do come from a sales world of over 10 years, and I love sales. I think everybody should learn sales. But do you think every business person or every entrepreneur should also learn sales, not only just take to play their brilliant idea that they have? What do you guys think regarding sales for business owners? Because I feel like sometimes business owners miss that, and they're missing thousands or millions on sales because of it. Do you think everybody should kind of go through sales training one way or another?
Yeah. I mean, whether or not you go through formal training, in your prior career before you become an entrepreneur, or it's informal just through practice, like there's no way an effective entrepreneur isn't always selling. They're either selling their direct product or they're selling their company.
You know, or they're selling their employees on buying into a certain idea. And I think that like going through sales training, part of that, and I'd love to hear what your experience was here at Romina, but like part of what I've seen create kind of effective sales strategy is learning how to listen to the other person. And understanding what it is that they need and how you can help them solve it. And I think that's a skill that is often missing in a lot of people who are out trying to do something. They say, I've got a great idea and I just want to go shove it down everyone's throat. And that's never going to work because if somebody doesn't want it, you shouldn't waste your time trying to sell it to them. And there may be a good customer out there. So I think having those, that understanding and going through those type of trainings, like definitely valuable.
Yeah. And I would agree fully with active listening. A lot of people are missing active listening. And as a business owner, right before I even was able to like launch my packages or what I was able to do, I did R&D, kind of doing a survey and exactly what are my skills, what I can niche it down to, and how can I pitch it. But an active listening, kind of going back to it, what I've seen a lot of sales professionals do is they, whenever they know they're halfway through the deal or whenever they know they're about to close their contract, they might be physically present, but their mind is going to, how much will my commission be? What will I do with the money? Where will I go? What am I going to do next? They're not physically present. They're mentally present throughout the whole process. And I feel like that's what hurts a lot of salespeople as well as business people, because they're trying to hunt down the next lead, close the next lead. And then they're missing that moment, the being present in the moment that you can either upsell or you can either create a much better personal relationship with the client that is in front of you. Because if you think about it, I look at it from a referral standpoint. If I'm fully present and make sure that either with James or with Carlton, I create a very great, amazing experience with you guys, you will be my biggest advocate to send me customers in the future, because word of mouth is still the biggest thing for sales.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and we look for different ways of quantifying that. We look for organic growth in a company. You know, are they growing faster than their marketing budget would normally imply? And all those things are signals to us that uncover whether that word of mouth is happening, whether or not this entrepreneur is effective at selling themselves, their company, and their product.
So let's kind of go back to, if they're growing faster than the marketing budget allows them, how would they be able to fix that or make sure that they continue a steady grow and don't not burden themselves?
Well, it's not about, overburden. It's more that, when you find how we term it as product market fit, you're going to tend to see, all of a sudden a very big spike. And there can be different lulls as you try and advance through that. But typically what we're looking for is evidence that this company and this entrepreneur have solved such a unique problem that the market is largely just taking it out of their hands. And marketing budgets and different ways of creating awareness and trial will always be accretive to that, but think of it as gasoline and not the fire. The fire is product market fit. Have you truly solved the problem with your product? One of those things where the famous Supreme Court phrase, you know it when you see it. Like, you know it when you see it. It's pretty hard to ignore when a product is just really working. And then comes kind of the harder work of how do you scale it? How do you get more people to be aware of it, et cetera? But you tend to be able to know pretty early if it's working or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like whenever you're having that increase there, a spike on your sales, that's when you need to pay a lot more attention. Or if you're being steady, you need to definitely, recalibrate and readjust for you in order to grow. Because if you're steady growing, I mean, it just kind of eventually is going to be a monotone thing. You don't want your business to have the same thing over and over and over. I'm loving this episode, you guys. I know all my business owners out there, the entrepreneurs, I know this information is absolutely very beneficial, especially if you are looking to spike up your sales. I know we kind of touched base about marketing, sales. First off, what is next for Goat Rodeo Capital? I'd love to hear your guys' future plans as well, because I'm sure you're not just sitting there doing nothing, but what do you have on the back burner that maybe you can share with us?
I mean, we're just continuing to make investments, continuing to find companies that we're really excited to help, and pushing it that way. So that's really how a venture capital fund grows. Is for us, we're here to support entrepreneurs, not take the center stage. Our incentives are aligned perfectly. When they succeed, we succeed. So that's, for us, it's really just about scaling up and continuing finding really great companies and really great entrepreneurs to support, and supporting them with both capital, which is necessary, and with advice and help as best we can.
Perfect. And I know we covered a lot of information prior to, but I wanted to one more time kind of niche it down exactly what would be the ideal business that you guys can definitely partner up with. So if we can kind of go over that too, to make sure that we are fully transparent in the audience. If somebody's listening, you guys definitely reach out. So let's talk about the niche partner for you guys.
Well, it's, we're really always eager when someone's come up with a new product, whether it's, a new spirit or a new beer, or a new wine, or some combination thereof, like a ready to drink, concept. And they're starting to see a lot of success. Maybe they've gotten distribution in stores and restaurants and bars around them. Now the restaurants and bars are back, or maybe they have really good digital sales, right when they're in that early inflection point where it's very clear that the market likes what they're selling, but they're not on every shelf nationwide yet. That's kind of our ideal investment. We really love to see things that are in their seed or early stage.
Perfect. And what's the best way for them to connect with you guys?
Roundup, R-O-U-N-D-U-P, at goatradiocapital.com is the best way to kind of send pitches and ideas into us. I think you can also find that through the website, www.goatrodeocapital.com.
Perfect. Well, any last message that you like to leave the audience with? All our entrepreneurs out there, they're definitely looking to grow. Maybe a last piece of advice for them?
Just keep doing what you're doing. I think, doing this kind of work and trying to support entrepreneurs, all it does is give me increased respect for the grind and what it takes for them to risk it all to go after their vision. And we can't wait to hopefully help and meet some of them.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, guys, for being a part of California Business on the Rise podcast. And for you, my listeners, make sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you are listening to this podcast from. If it is Apple Podcasts, go ahead and give us a 5-star review and let us know how much you enjoyed the episode. And until our next episode, I hope you guys have a fabulous and tremendous day. This is Romina, your host. Bye for now.
It's Gustavo here. Thank you so much for listening to California Businesses on the Rise. If you're a business owner who would like to be on this program, please visit hypedigital.com/podcast-California/apply. If you got something out of this interview, would you please share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and post it on the main social media platform you use. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them and let them know about the show and include the hashtag California Businesses on the Rise. We are regularly putting out new episodes. To make sure you don't miss any, go ahead and subscribe. Any likes, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to hypedigital.com/San-Francisco or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you again.